Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Whether you have an interest in autism is irrelevant. The A Word is a masterclass in ensemble acting and scriptwriting that is as funny as it is heartrending. That quote from British TV critic Violet Fenn is part of the praise parade for Sundance TV's latest original miniseries, whose opening act happens Wednesday night. Executive producer Skylar Johnson joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Also ahead, our classic trivia question of the week. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Block Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Good Monday afternoon to you. Happy start of the week for all of you tuning in to the program All About Television. Glad to be back with you. 80 degrees at the top of the hour. Another gorgeous day here in New York now that the heat wave is dead and gone, at least for a while. And we invite you, as always, to be part of the program. Great guests we expect coming your way. And the way you get involved, you raise your voice and you use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio. We have a chat room open as well. It's SimonApple04. You can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And Wick Grimm, our friend from Philadelphia, is already in the room. And while the program is on the air, you can connect with others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. We are expecting Sarah Johnson, the executive producer of The A-Word, to join us at any minute, and hopefully she will do so after we have some news note quickies. NBC's coverage of the U.S. Olympic trials in gymnastics had 8.3 million viewers last night. That was according to early Nielsen ratings. That's the top view U.S. Olympic trials programming so far. NBC, of course, will have complete coverage of the Rio Olympic Games live in that time zone starting in about a month. Fun and Games continue to soar for ABC, all three parts of that Sunday afternoon attraction, or should say Sunday evening attraction, Celebrity Family Feud, the $100,000 pyramid whose executive producer Vin Rubino was on this program last Friday, and Match Game increased their audience from last week despite the NBC gymnastics coverage live. SportsNation co-host Max Kellerman will assume Skip Bayless' seat on ESPN2's First Take July 25th. This just in, Impastor begins Season 2 on TV Land September 28th. And prolific comedy variety series director Norman Abbott died yesterday at age 94. His credits include the Jack Benny program, Leave It to Beaver, The Munsters, Sanford and Son, and Get Smart. Once again, Norman Abbott dead at the age of 94. He died yesterday in Los Angeles. And that is news notes for today. It's been a very big new series time for Sundance TV so far this year. Two miniseries that premiered earlier this year have done very well. Half and Leonard, whose Chris was on this show back in the spring, that series got rave reviews. It's coming back for a second season next year. And Clever Man, a series imported from New Zealand, did well a couple of months ago, and that series has also been renewed for a second season. Well, coming up this Wednesday night is a new series dealing with one family's raising of an autistic child, and far more than that. It is called The A Word. It's a co-production with the BBC and Texan International, the folks behind Homeland and other scripted and unscripted formats that is carried throughout the world. Sarah Johnson is the executive producer on behalf of Catch It. The series premiered a few weeks ago on British television on the BBC. It has gotten sensational reviews, and U.S. critics who have already seen the show, which will premiere this Wednesday night at 10 o'clock on Sundance, are saying it's a sure early contender for the 2017 Emmy Awards. We are expecting Sarah to join us any minute. So if anybody from Sundance is listening, you can get Sarah on the phone, have her give us a call at our call-in number, 646-652-2906. We will get Sarah on ASAP. In the meantime, let's give you our classic trivia question of the week. And if you are first with the correct answer, you can win the new book, Twin Peaks FAQ, published by Applause. It's the book covering the classic ABC series of the 1990s, created by David Lynch and Mark Frost, that is coming back in an all-new version written by Lynch and Frost, and all the episodes will be directed by Lynch. We had this question last week, and because of the short work week, we decided to carry it over to this week. As many of you know, most game shows these days have a bonus game. With Let's Make a Deal, it's the big deal of the day. The Price is Right, the Showcase Showdown, and the Showcase Round. Family Feud, Fast Money. et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It was not always the case, and that's where our question comes in. Our trivia question this week, name the first game show with a bonus game. Name the first game show with a bonus game. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please enclose your name and your full mailing address. So if you're first with the answer, you get the prize, and we get to you ASAP. And if you're shy about using email, no problem. Use Twitter. This special hashtag, TWBT. That's hashtag TWBT. TWBT. And the Twitter options made available by the wonderful people at Hopscotch, the folks invited you to create your own social soundtrack. You can learn how at hopscotch.com. And now joining us live here in New York, the executive producer on behalf of Kesha for Sundance TV's new series, The A-Word, Sarah Johnson. Sarah, good to have you aboard.
Hey, good to be here. Hello.
It's great to have you here, Sarah. Our pleasure to have you. And first of all, congratulations on the fact that over the weekend, the A-Word has been given a second season, although Sundance TV, from what we understand as of this morning, has not picked up the second season. Your thoughts, first of all, on the reaction overseas to the show and the second season coming up?
Well, actually, the BBC gave it a second season a month or so ago, but we're so delighted about it. This is a very special show for us. And it was, you know, it was really well received, and Pete was very excited about telling more stories and, you know, continuing the story for the family. So everyone's very happy, and we're head first in storylining already.
Pete is Peter Balker, we should point out, who is the creator of The A-Word, and he's also
Indeed.
A Golden Globe nominee. He's also won BAFTA, which is the British version of the Oscars and the Emmys. How do you describe the British reaction to the series? We started with the quote from Violet Fenn, who said this is as much, you know, humor as heartrending, and that no matter whether you are dealing with autism in some way on the family level, you will get this show.
Oh, well, that's so lovely to hear, because the whole... The reaction to the show was exactly as we would possibly never have dared have hoped to have it, and I say that actually as the Keshet person, you know, bringing this adaptation into the UK, because Keshet are the co-producers and represent the original series that of course was on Israeli television, and the audience took the family to their hearts and took wonderful Max Vento playing Joe to their hearts and laughed and cried and angsted and just jumped in with this family, this multi-generational family, telling stories about family life, but with this wonderful peculiarity of a child with autism at the heart of it, the beating heart of this show.
How did this story get created? First of all, in Israel, where Keshet is based, and for those who don't know, Keshet is the format maker behind such shows as Homeland and Rising Star. They've done scripted and unscripted. How did this program happen, and then how did it get translated for this production by Sundance?
The original series was written and directed and created by a fantastic, very talented writer called Keren Margalit, and she created this story. She is a mother of an autistic child, or a child with autism, and she wanted to do a show about communication and that highlighted some of the things that she had found once she'd come slightly out of the battle zone, as she's called it. I joined Keshet very early on as they moved into the UK and set up a production company. And one of the first things I saw was the original series. In fact, it is the thing that, as my boss, Alan Strusman, showed the trailer to me when he was interviewing me for my role, and I sat and cried, and that kind of is what got me the job, and I said, this show has to be made here. We were lucky enough to have Peter Balker, the writer, as you said, be interested in it, and we joined with Patrick Spence and the team at 50 Fathoms, who are a fantastic production company in the UK, and we finally found our way into the BBC with Pete's a beautiful script that Pete had written, which was his version inspired by Keren's very beautiful series.
Explain what the series is about and how you separate it, if you can, from other programs both in England and America that have in recent years dealt with the issues that disabled people or people with autism or Down syndrome or things face. In the last couple of, in the last 15, 20 years, we've had a number of series that have either main characters who are dealing with these issues, like Corky and Life Goes On, which ran for several years on ABC, or Situation Involving Deaf and Hearing Impaired with Switch at Birth, which is going to wrap its 50th final season on Freeform, former ABC Family, next year. And ABC, of course, is going to be doing a new series that's already getting promotion this fall called Speechless, dealing with a family in a comedic way, dealing with someone who is handicapable.
Is that the Mini Driver series? I think I've seen the trailer for
it. Mini Driver's a star.
Amazing.
And
it looks Yeah, it looks amazing. I think the thing that first and foremost, the A word and actually Yellow Peppers, the original, are it's a family drama. It's a drama that is, you know, is there to talk about parenthood and community and you know, obviously it has Joe, as I said, as the beating heart of this family. But ultimately, it's a story where, as an audience member, you can come in and you can jump in with the grandfather, played by Christopher Eccleston, a fantastic performance by him. You can look at his life. He's recently retired, having lost his wife. You've got the parents, Paul and Alison, who, yes, have Joe, but they also have a teenage daughter from a former marriage. You've got her brother returning home with his wife, who they're trying to make it work because in their relationship. You know, and then you can come at it through the teenager, Rebecca, Joe's elder sister, who's played by Molly Wright, who's fantastic. It's a family drama, and it wears its coat lightly in terms of the disability aspect, and yet, it, you know, I know that Peter really wanted it to really have an effect so that people could understand a little bit more about the life of people who are living with children with autism. And I think the balance of the humor and the storytelling and these fantastic characters from every generation is a reason for this. Not necessarily not feeling like other dramas out there, but it's not a documentary. It's not a drama series about disability, but it is looking at families who are coping with the challenge of difference. And it is done with humor and heart. And it's set in this fantastic community in the Lake District, where you really are seeing sort of a fairly typical northern family having to deal with something that's atypical. That, to me, is what makes it slightly special, and it hit the right moment on the right channel, because the BBC is, you know, the perfect home for this kind of show.
The A-Word is Sundance TV's latest original miniseries, and it premieres Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. As we mentioned, the series has already been renewed for a second season by its co-producer, BBC One. Sarah Johnson is the executive producer for one of the other key co-producers of the series, Catch International, the folks behind Homeland, Rising Star, other scripted and unscripted series from all over the world. She joins me here live in New York this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. We're the program All About Television. Delighted to have you with us on this Monday afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. Simon Applebaum with you live also from New York. And if you have a question or comment for Sarah, give the call 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name, Rick Webb already in the room. On the next edition Friday, we'll introduce you to a crowdfunding firm called Seed and Spark. They've already done a lot in terms of getting films off the ground, but now they're starting to get television off the ground in a new project called the New Voice Crowdfunding Rally. It's involved with Series Fest, the recent Rocky Mountain-based TV festival. Julie Keck from Seed and Spark will join us. And then one of the new co-hosts of BK Live here in New York on Brick TV, Rakia Mays, will join us. She's also a personality with radio station WBLS, where she covers the TV and entertainment scene. We'll get her thoughts about television and diversity. That's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Sarah, the issues that this family deal with, are they real issues in terms of the dynamic of the family with this child, or is it sort of inferred, whether it is like, what will other people say about how we raise this child? Or is it we're scared that people outside where we are going to feel this way or that way?
I think it's a little bit of all of that, really. In terms of Joe and his challenges within that diagnosis of autism, we're doing a fictional representation of one child with autism, not every child. But I think by setting it in the Lake District, and the original show was set in sort of in a desert community in Israel, is, you're looking at a small community, and that sense of who's going to look at us from the outside, how is it going to be with this child? Because I live in London, you know, Keshet UK is set in London, and, you know, I think there's more experience of children with differences and disabilities here. I think you can get away with it a little bit more easily in terms of not being the only child with or the only family with. And I think by placing this in the community that we did in the Lake District, it allowed the family to look out, and specifically Alison, the mother at this point, of not wanting her child to stand out for these reasons, and all of that sense of, do you label, do you not label, the A word, as the title is, do you want to brand your child with this thing that you're still getting used to within a community that knows everything and sees everything because of its size and because of its location?
Here in the United States, one of the ongoing Hollywood issues has been the casting of people in roles on disability. And to some people in the community, the feeling is, you must, for example, if you are doing a story about deaf and hearing impaired people, you must have deaf and hearing impaired actors in those roles. Mm-hmm. If you have somebody dealing with a handicapable situation, for example, the child in Breaking Bad, it was filled by a role of someone who had cerebral palsy. How was the process in terms of trying to cast an autistic child, if you could, in the key role?
I think the key role, actually, taking the age of the character, who is 5 or 6, our primary concern and responsibility was ensuring the well-being of the child playing Joe. You know, he's a very young, and it was agreed at an early stage, I think, that it would have been inappropriate to cast a child with autism. It was, you know, vital for this actor to be able to play and distinguish real life and fiction and the fiction of character, of Joe, that character. So we made a decision in terms of responsibility. It's a very complex and demanding for a child on the autism spectrum to deal with their own emotions and portray emotions that were not theirs. And we made that decision as a team, and the team made that decision very early. But when it came to casting two other characters in the show I'd love to talk about, there's a character called Andy, who is a young man who has autism early on, and there's a character called Ralph, who is the son of Louise, who's another character, a young man who has Down syndrome. Only people with autism and Downs were auditioned for those parts, and the two actors, Joseph Shepherd and Leon Harrop, were absolutely fantastic in those roles because we could do that responsibly. I think, you know, we took an awful lot of advice. We were incredibly responsible, and the team were incredibly responsible making this the whole way through.
Did they provide, Peter and the other people working on the production, any ideas for how storylines develop based on their experiences with their families?
I'm sorry, would you mind just repeating that? It cut out slightly, yeah. Simon, sorry.
That's okay, Sarah. Did the actors provide Peter Bowker, the writer, and other people who worked on the production, any ideas in terms of how storylines should develop based upon their experiences as members of a family?
You know what, Pete wrote 6 entirely beautiful scripts, and what everybody did on this production was to jump into the vision of those scripts. It was inevitable that everyone involved in the show had some kind of experience of or understanding of autism, which in itself is why the show is so special. But everybody came onto this show on the back of Pete's scripts and what he had written, you know, inspired by the original show and based on his experiences as a teacher of special needs children. That really was the process and will be the process going forwards as well, because Pete has a great passion about what he wanted to do and how he wanted to tell the story of this family.
Mm-hmm. Mentioned in the United States that there has been a great deal of television work about what disabled people or handicapped people are dealing with, and also autism, in part because of the wonderful work done by former NBC chair Robert Wright, his wife Suzanne, who raised an autistic child, and they have the charity Autism Speaks. What is the biggest misunderstanding about living with autism or being part of a family with an autistic child or children that this show attempts to crack wide open?
Ooh, I don't know. That's a brilliant question. I think that there are a couple of adages. You know, when you've met one child with autism, you've met one child with autism. Everyone's experience is different. And I think what Pete really wanted, he recognized that there's families out there who have very different experiences. What he wanted was the series to resonate with people who don't have directive experience, but also appeal to people who do, and to look at the stresses and the strains of all the things that they go through. In terms of misconceptions, I don't know. Pete has said a fantastic thing. He said it's the job of the drama to make the particular universal and the universal particular. So I'm possibly not answering your question in terms of I can't really speak about what those frustrations are, but I know what our intent was.
Sarah Johnson is one of the executive producers of The A Word. It's Sundance TV's latest original series, and it premieres this Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on that network, now one of the AMC family of channels. Sarah joins us live this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Applebaum here with you from New York on Blog Talk Radio. Happy with us whether you're up or down the line. And we invite you to be involved with the program. Raise your voice and get the word out with this number, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, Simon Apple, Joe Ford, my name, Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia, still in the room. We did BK Live earlier this afternoon locally on Brick TV, and we focused on Charter Communications, the second largest cable system in the nation, dropping New Tang Dynasty Television, a network that had been locally on Time Warner Cable for over a decade and change before it was dropped on June 30th. You can check out our show tomorrow on YouTube at youtube.com/BRickTV. It's youtube.com/BRickTV. I'll be joined by a New Tang Dynasty TV executive, as well as Larry Ong, a reporter for the Epoch Times newspaper, who's covering this story. That's happening tomorrow when Tomorrow We Televise on BK Live comes your way through YouTube. That's youtube.com/BRickTV or BrickTV. youtube.com/BrickTV. Both the segment and the full episode coming your way tomorrow morning. Sarah, now that you have a second season, has Peter determined where he wants to take the story?
Ooh, it's very top secret at the moment. He's feeling his way around the potential stories where we'll be picking up, you know, because by the time it goes on air again, there'll have been a really satisfying amount of time passed, and that is where Pete is interested in telling that story. If you look at when your child is diagnosed versus when you've settled with that diagnosis and the challenges of raising a child, we meet Joe when he's 5 and, you know, just starting school. Those challenges change as a family changes, as a child grows. And that is the heart of, I think, Pete's storytelling and what he's looking at for Series 2. But also where we've left everybody, their marriages, the businesses, how they want to live their lives. It's very exciting sort of waiting and watching him do it, but it's a little bit early yet for me to be able to tell you anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, while we all ponder about where a Season 2 could go, how has Season 1 impacted everybody involved? How has it transformed the cast, the production crew, everyone involved in making this series happen?
You know what? It was a very special show. There was a very special feeling on set. Marcus Wilson, the producer, and, you know, we had Peter Catania directing the first 3 episodes and another couple of directors along the way. The cast, everyone I spoke to, everyone I met, certainly everybody from Keshet and Karen Margolit, her pride at what was done with her series, and Peter, the overriding feeling was that it has been a very, very special experience. And when it went out, what was lovely was that experience continued, because we heard from people who said thank you for putting that out there and making me laugh and not beating people on the head with it. And, you know, special is the word I would say, but special in that good way. I on a personal level, I'm connected to the world of special needs children, and for me, that's what it has been all along the way. Very emotional, very feeling like we've done something wonderful, actually.
Mm-hmm. And what is coming up from Kesha? We know that this fall, Homeland is coming back on Showtime. It's going to be produced in New York for the very first time, a very New York-centric plot with the wonderful Claire Danes and Manny Patinkin and that incredible cast and crew. But what else is coming from Kesha? Any new shows that are in the pipeline that we will be seeing soon, or if not soon, in 2017?
Well, Kesha US goes from strength to strength, and I kind of watch them with great delight. Here at Kesha UK, we have another adaptation of one of the Kesha Israeli shows, which is a comedy drama called Loaded, and we are about to go into pre-production, making that for Channel 4 with another partner, with a partner called Hillbilly Films, with a writer called John Brown, who's written on Fresh Meat and Peep Show and other fantastic funny shows. So we're very excited about that at Kesha UK. And Kesha International, round the world, doing what it does, punching way above its weight and making lots of noise. I think 2017 will have lots more. But certainly I'm very excited from the UK for Loaded, which is also being co-produced with an American co-producer. So maybe I'll be able to come and talk to you about that.
Oh, can you tell us who the American co-producer is?
I'm pretty sure I can. Yes, it's AMC. We're in a very happy relationship with the wonderful AMC networks, but this one's AMC, and obviously this is Sundance and the wonderful Sundance channel, but Loaded is with AMC.
And while we're talking AMC, let's point out that coming up on their channel, the AMC channel, I should say, is the second season of Humans, one of, I think, last year's great surprises. I'm pulling for it to maybe get an Emmy nomination for William Hurt, at least the Best Supporting Actor in a drama or drama miniseries. And I'm happy that it's coming back. It was premiered on Channel 4 in England. Did great there. Did great on both sides of the Atlantic. And we had the creators of that show on the program, both on our show and on BK and our simulcast also. We had it last summer, and they're marvelous. And I hope when we find out when Humans are going to come back on, we will definitely try to have them back. I think it was a great surprise stories of last year, and so I'm looking forward to season two.
It's a fantastic show. It's a fantastic show, and the original Swedish show was amazing as well. So it's a win-win. Sundance know what they're doing. AMC Networks, they're great.
No, for sure. And one thing I want to point out that BBC has renewed the A Word for season two. Sundance TV, as this morning, I talked to them this morning, they have not renewed yet. I guess they're waiting to see how we'll do here in the U.S. But you might say, to use the cliche, it may only be a matter of time. We will see.
Mm-hmm.
But the time for the A Word here in the United States starts this Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Pacific time, on Sundance TV. Check your local news to where that network is available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, go to www.sundance.tv. That's www.sundance.tv. The A Word, Wednesday at 10 p.m. Pacific time. And if the reviews so far are up to snuff, chances are it may very well be a nominee for the 2017 Emmy Awards, which will happen a year and change from now. Sarah Johnson, the executive producer for Kesha for the A Word, thank you again for joining us. Congratulations on the success of the show here in England and on the second season of BBC, and hopefully the same result and a whole lot more here in the United States.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for having me, Simon.
You're very, very welcome, Sarah. A pleasure. We'd love to have you back when more Kesha things happen from your side of the Atlantic to ours. Great to have you again, and all the very best.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Take care. Sarah Johnson, executive producer of The A Word, joining us from New York and by way of London, we should point out as well. One more time, A Word, Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Pacific time on Sundance TV. And I mentioned Autism Speaks. Check out their website for more details about the wonderful work that organization and others do in the area of autism. Really, really fantastic work. We'll tell you about our next program in a moment, but right now, some wonderful thoughts from the people at Audible.com. If you're a Neil Gaiman fan, and there are a lot of people who listen to this program and others on Blog Talk Radio who are, you should know that for the first time, his work is coming to television. It's American Gods, and it's coming either later this fall or early next year on Starz. So while you're waiting for that, try this. You can get a hold right now of his wonderful audiobook, Neverwhere, and it's got a great cast doing it. Christopher Lee, Sophie Okendo, and Sherlock himself, Benedict Cumberbatch. And the way you can get it, get a free trial to audibletrial.com. Audible.com is the source for great spoken audio entertainment and information, with over 180,000 titles to choose from at any given time. And you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now through Blog Talk Radio. So remember, if you sign up at this URL, audibletrial.com/televised, that's audibletrial.com/televised, you can get Neverwhere by Neil Gaiman, or Charlie Rose interviews from PBS and Bloomberg Television, or a whole lot more, one audiobook, and a 30-day trial of the service. And don't forget, along with all of that, you get the wonderful customer service that's possible by Audible.com because they're an Amazon company. Top-of-the-line customer service, any hour, 24/7. So remember, for wonderful spoken audio entertainment, information, inspiration, there's nothing like Audible.com. And you can get into that world very easy with a free audiobook and a one-month trial, audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. Take advantage. It's a steal of a deal and all yours from audible.com. Friday on Tomorrow We Televise, we'll tell you about Seed and Spark and their wonderful new crowdfunding campaign, the New Voice Crowdfunding Rally, their first one ever for television. And it could set a standard for a whole lot more. We'll talk to community manager Julie Keck, and we'll also ask whether equity crowdfunding is going to become a major, major way to get new TV series off the ground. And then one of my new friends on BK Live, new co-host Rakia Manz will join us. She is also one of the top personalities on radio station WBLS. She covers the world of television entertainment. We'll get her thoughts about TV as well as the entertainment scene in general. And we'll also ask her about a novel, about a wonderful book that she has written recently. That's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And incidentally, my latest Tomorrow Will Be Televised column for MediaGoes.com, Jack Meyer's website, is out. It's the first of a two-parter about the behind-the-scenes at the making of Upfront and New Front Events. How do they happen and how do they not happen? We talked to people from two firms that deal exactly with that subject. So check out Anatomy of an Upfront New Front. That's part one is running today at MediaGoes.com. Part two will run later in the week, and we have another column that will hopefully be posted before the end of the week. And so at MediaGoes.com, it's a great place for wonderful media commentary and analysis 24/7, run by our good friend Jack Myers, who's been this from before. That's MediaGoes.com. If you came in on the program late or you want to check up on episodes you missed, either way, go to our homepage, www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And you can check out a replay of this program and all of our shows right there. We post the replay, by the way, this episode about an hour after we go off the air. And you can also get us on podcast through iTunes.com and the iTunes podcast app, which you can see as well as hear at Apple TV 2.0. If you don't have Apple TV 2.0, get it from your local Apple store or order it online. And that way, you can not only hear, but see our podcast as well as other Blog Talk Radio programming at the iTunes podcast app. We love hearing from you. We'd like to know your thoughts about our guest today and about the A word. What's your thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going? We'll take those too, as well as possible answers for our Clock and Trivia question of the week. How do you get involved? You email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. That's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Just remember to enclose your name and where you're from. And we also use your email request to use our feature, a show to know. Is there a TV show that you like that you think doesn't get enough attention from anyone? Well, we want to do that. So if you email me and we use your suggestion on the air, you, of course, will get the credit. That's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. You can also find me and respond to me on Facebook and find me and respond to me on Twitter at my hashtag at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. However you respond is appreciated. Why? Because what you say matters. Absolutely. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associates are Amy Domestico and Candace Williams. Andy Toews, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, the creator and chief executive of this very enterprise, Mr. Alan Levy. Tomorrow We Televise was brought to you this afternoon by Audible.com and Amazon Company. But Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful rest of your week. We are back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio. Along with being safe and be great, until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.